Hi everyone, I'm Allie Grayman. I'm an OCD recovery coach. On this channel, we talk about how to fully recover from OCD. Full recovery is absolutely possible. I recovered, my clients recovered, and you can recover too. Today, I'm answering questions that you left under my previous video. So first question is how to stop responding to random anxieties, changing themes all the time. So look at it this way. Content doesn't matter. How much you're responding matters. So how to stop responding, not all or nothing, not how do I stop responding 100% of the time, but how do I respond a little less today than yesterday? And how do I respond a little less still tomorrow than today? So it's a reduction, right? We're tracking and reducing. So let's say if today, out of 180 minutes, out of 3 hours, right? Let's say you responded or ruminated or asked for reassurance, whatever. Let's say 180 out of 180. Tomorrow, let's try to do 170. And then the next day, let's try to do 160. Again, tracking and reducing, right? So we don't care what the content is, what's the theme of the day or the thought of the day. Who cares? We're looking at it as how much you're powering your OCD, not your ROCD or HOCD or whatever OCD, right? But your overall OCD. How much are you powering it up? Right? That's the Grayman method. So rather than approaching it from, let me work on my ROCD today, you know, and then it comes up with some other type of OCD, with harm OCD tomorrow, and then what, square one, right? This way, we don't care about the theme. We're saying, theme doesn't matter. We're just focusing on how much I am doing to power OCD up. Not power this theme up, OCD in general. And then they can throw whatever theme at you, but you know your max time today for rumination for every 3 hours is 170. Tomorrow, max time is going to be 160. Better if it's lower, but you know, we do what we can, right? And then same thing with compulsions, reducing the number of compulsions. So that's what you have to do. And you'll see this is doable. So not stopping responding, that's black and white thinking, right? But reduce, and then tomorrow reduce some more, and then some more. Okay, so next question. How to make decisions when your OCD latches onto the topic you are trying to make a decision about? For example, if I want to buy a lunch from a cafe, my scrupulosity OCD might tell me, don't buy this, it's not moral to eat because of the reason. How do I move ahead? So basically, you have to go with what you were already going to do. So let's say, let's talk about from, let's say, magical OCD, right? Magical thinking OCD. If I pick up this cup, somebody is going to die, okay? And I had this thought that I wanted to pick up the cup. I wanted to take a sip, right? So I'm going to take a sip regardless of what OCD told me, right? I'm just going on with what I was going to do before, right? So like you're saying here, if I want to buy lunch from a cafe, so we already established what you want to do. You want to buy lunch from a cafe. And then the OCD came in and went blah, blah, blah. And you don't care. You're going to buy lunch at the cafe because that was your original thing that you wanted to do. So that's just like this with everything. If you have a trouble identifying what was your initial want, right? What you wanted to do initially, pick a person who you know and kind of that is similar to you and or whose opinion you value and kind of think, well, what would they do? And just go with what you think their opinion would be on the situation. Next question. When it comes to health OCD, I follow your way of delaying questions, so I write them down. It works well till the doctor's appointment. When I start back from zero, it's like everything I was okay with before becomes an intrusive thought again. Please help. If you can do more videos about health or health and responsibility OCD. I think in your situation, you need to delay how often you see a doctor as well. So you're delaying the questions until you see a doctor, but how often are you seeing that doctor for reassurance, right? So let's see if you see a doctor once a week, then you need to start delaying. So let's say you see them once every 2 weeks, then once a month. So you're delaying both asking until you see the doctor, but then also delaying seeing the doctor. You know that this health OCD, just like any other OCD, is a conveyor belt. You solve one thought, another one will come along. And your anxiety is the same to the first thought, to the second thought. It just jumps back up, right? So you asking is, it feels like this will solve it. This is the last one. It will never come back again. But you know better. you've been through this about a million times, right? So I think try delaying how often you see the doctor. Another thing I would also suggest is delaying or is limiting how many questions you ask the doctor. So rather than asking the full list, you'll give him maybe like top three. Right? Because it's a reassurance thing. And the more reassurance you get, the worse your OCD becomes. So if you say to your OCD basically that, okay, I'm going to get reassurance because you're not in a place where you can't get any at all, right? So I'm going to get some reassurance, but I'm going to also make myself slightly uncomfortable and not ask everything. Right, so that way you're kind of at least dipping your toes into the ERP, right? Like, so you're doing a little bit of ERP with it still because you could have asked more, but you chose not to. So you kind of said no to at least something. So that's another suggestion I would give in this situation. Next question is my question is, how do you deal with the thoughts that are real? Most are not, but some are, such as I read articles. First of all, my question is already, why are you reading articles? You need to stop yourself. So, again, how many articles are you reading a day? How many articles are you reading a week? Because it should be none. This is the gateway to all of your beginning of obsessions, is those articles. I swear to you. It's a big issue. So that's your number one job, is to stop reading that stuff. And I've had clients go to a point where they're not allowed to use the internet for a certain amount of time because they can't stop themselves from Googling, right? So their family members are actually preventing them from using the internet because of what happens once they do Google, right? That it's basically a Googling diet that you need to put yourself on. Sorry, I'm continuing the question. Such as read articles. There's a thin layer of feces on everything, and it's just something we have to deal with. It's hard with contamination OCD to know that. How did you deal with it? It grosses me out where I don't want to touch things. They say embrace it, but I don't know how. So, when they say embrace it, but you don't know how, it's you just have to do it like a robot, regardless of how you feel. So you're not trying to feel comfortable first and do exposure second. You do exposure, and then after a while you will feel comfortable. So you're doing these exposure the exposure work, knowing that, expecting that you're going to feel extremely grossed out, extremely uncomfortable, and that's okay. And I would say don't go above 7 out of 10 in terms of level of discomfort. Usually when people go above 7 out of 10, they can't handle it and then they end up falling down. So I would say in terms of picking exposures, that's probably the max that I would suggest going to. But yeah, you want to be doing things as other people would do, even though you feel grossed out and uncomfortable. So it's, I'm doing the action no matter how I feel, not I'm trying to feel comfortable first and then I'm going to do the action, you know? I got OCD recently, so this has so this I never thought about before. COVID makes it worse. Please let me know how to handle knowing these things. I developed OCD after trauma. Thanks, Ali, for taking questions. Also, shopping carts, they even found it in foods. They said ice at fast foods. okay, I'm not gonna read the whole question because I feel like it's gonna trigger some people. But basically, you just have to do it. You know, your choice is to sanitize everything all your life or to live life like everybody else with a thin layer of feces. That is your basic choice. Do you want to sanitize and live in a sanitized environment and do all this? That's one option, but or you can just push through, feel uncomfortable, get better, and then you'll stop noticing it. I promise you, the way you notice it now will not be the way you're gonna notice it later. You won't notice it after a while. But this exposure, you do have to go through it. You know, there's really no other way. And I would say, so in terms of exposures for this type of stuff, for contamination stuff, you want to do as many as possible in the day. So if you do just one, it's not very good because you're going to have this anticipatory anxiety. You're going to think about it all day before doing that one exposure. Then you're going to do it. Then you're going to freak out afterwards. That's not what we want to do. But if you're going to do little exposures, right? Not 10 out of 10, but like a 7. I would even say like a maybe like a 4 for now and then working up from there. But many times a day. When I say many, I mean like 40, 50 times a day. But small things. Getting yourself used to it. Riding that wave. That's really, really important. So that's what I would suggest in your situation. Okay, next question. Can you make videos about sensory motor OCD? Yes, I will. And I will make a course as well on sensory motor OCD. I'm just, you know me, I'm 24/7 with clients. So I'm trying my best, but it is coming though, just so you know. Next question. Hi, Ali. How do I disregard and ignore the intrusive thoughts, doubts, fears, uncertainty about doing it right when I am performing a religious duty that cannot be delayed? So I cannot pause and do something else. I must complete the religious duty, but my OCD is preventing me and the uncomfortable feeling becomes intolerable. So I end up unable to start or repeating over and over when I do start. The OCD also only comes when I try to do any religious obligation. So you need to let go of doing things perfectly. You're just doing things as any other human being would do things, right? It doesn't within the religious duty, right? That you're not trying to do everything just right. Everything has to be perfect, right? Take that pressure off of yourself. You're a regular human being. All the other human beings are doing things a certain way. It does not have to be perfect. So trying to get away from perfectionism as much as possible. So next time you're doing how to do this in practice, right? Next time you are doing a religious duty, you're going to do it to 99% perfection, not 100% perfection. You're going to do it to 99% perfection. And then so on and so forth, kind of reducing the perfection every time you do something until you hit about what would be a normal percentage, like 70%, something like that. That would be probably standard, maybe even less, I would say, 60%, right? How do people, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? So it's pulling yourself back from, has to be 100%, and try not to repeat, because when you start to repeat something, you get into this frenzy, your cortisol shoots through the roof, your adrenaline shoots through the roof, and then it's very hard to come back down from that. So try not to repeat. It's not a good idea. And then next time it's going to get you more, because you're kind of making this more relevant in your mind, right? You're saying to your mind, this is dangerous when you're doing these repeats and go into this fight or flight mode. Next question. I'm following you for the last 2 years. I'm doing observing meditation, mindfulness, breathing meditation, also alternative nostrils, breathing exercises. I understood I'm not thoughts and emotions. I'm not affected by any thoughts and I have no anxiety. Randomly, one or two thoughts, any content can come, but I disregard it without saying anything from my side. I just observe that the thought disappears by itself. So I can say I have no issue at psychological level, but I didn't feel present moment during deep breath and alternative nostrils breathing exercise. I found as my right part of the brain isn't working well. That is your new OCD. That right there, what you're saying, I don't feel present, I feel, I don't feel, that's your new OCD. That's your new theme. There is no energy in the right part of the brain. So this is almost kind of adjacent, let's say, to sensory motor OCD, sensing things, right? Something doesn't feel right. You're ruminating about it and you are anxious about it because clearly you're writing it to me. So you see your OCD has shifted to this problem. I know this thought can become OCD thought, but I didn't give it power to, but I didn't give power to this thought also, but I'm not feeling present moment due to the right part of the brain. You are giving it the thought because you're telling me that, but I'm not feeling present. You're worrying about it. You're stressing out about it. So, and how can I get energy in my right part of the brain? So already you're ruminating about it. Do you see? However you feel is however you feel. You need to leave it at that. So just like what you were doing with whatever thought came in, doesn't matter. Whatever feeling came in, physical feeling, right? Is whatever physical feeling came in. So thoughts, feelings, emotions, sensations, doesn't matter. It's just getting you from a different angle. That's all it is. So we're not trying to feel present moment. We're not trying to do anything. It's when you started to do mindfulness meditation and all this stuff, it became important to you, right? When it became important to you, OCD grabbed onto it. That's what happened. So now we have to also disregard that. So you got good at disregarding thoughts. Now you need to do the same game, right? But new level at disregarding the feelings. Okay, next question. I'm obsessing about something. I found my answer on the internet. Oh boy. It's just what I wanted to hear. Then the thought, what if the internet article I read isn't real? What if the article is just in your imagination? What should I do? All sorts of thoughts on the same theme come to me. I try ignoring them, but I'm scared this question, what if the internet article isn't real, will stick with me. Thank you. So basically what happened is you were obsessing about something, got reassurance, and then OCD wanted to bring that level of fight or flight back up. So it found a way to maneuver around the fact that you were that you found the answer and you were content with the answer. It found a way to get you back into rumination now about what is real. So you need to disregard it just the same. Again, guys, tracking and reducing. It's how much you are ruminating. This is to this question and to the previous question. How much are you ruminating throughout the day? About what? No one cares. Just how much are you ruminating? Is it all day? Is it half a day? Can you do a minute less today than yesterday? And then a minute less tomorrow than today? Because even if you go by a minute, you will reduce, right? So you want to make sure that you're constantly on it all day, not letting yourself ruminate about these things. It doesn't matter what the content is. It just matters how much you are reacting to that content. So next question. How do you suggest the best way to disregard while driving in the car? I find it difficult to refocus while doing this and similar tasks on autopilot things. So the car thing is difficult, I'm not going to lie, because there's not much of an activity. I would say driving in a quiet car is difficult because there's nothing to refocus on. I mean, you should be watching the road, obviously, but besides that, there's not really much to focus on. I would say put something engaging on the radio. That's pretty much the only thing you can somewhat sidetrack your attention to. And this is not avoidance, because this is very important. So when you're disregarding like this, you're not saying, oh my God, I have to drown out the thoughts, right? You're just saying, I need to give my mind something else to play with. You know, do you see a difference? We're not doing it out of fear, but we just have better things to do. So we're going to do better things. You can try just not giving it attention, but I mean, like, you got to think of something, right? So, and especially people with an overactive mind, OCD can come in a lot. Try to, if you do have a lot going on in your life, try to kind of go to that thought. Like, for example, I'm not thinking about OCD. I'm going to think about, I like something logical, like finances or planning, right? Because you're engaging the right parts of your brain when you do that, that will distract you from this OCD thinking. So I prefer to go to that if you have something that could be thought of on this topic. If not, then listening to something is probably your best bet. But usually, I can tell you with clients, the most rumination provoking times are when person first wakes up, then in the bathroom, in the shower, in the morning, because isolated space, right? Not much going on, so you start to ruminate. Then driving car to work, driving car from work, again isolated space, nothing to do, so you ruminate, right? So those situations, you kind of have to go into them like a champion, like a warrior, where you're like, all right, OCD, what you got? All right, same thing. I'm not buying it. Kind of being prepared for that hit and choosing, making a choice not to take the bait. Next question. Hi, Ali. I'm in recovery. Yesterday, I didn't do any compulsion and I just accepted my thoughts. But this morning, I felt worse, like my anxiety was higher. Is it normal or did I make a compulsion by mistake? This is normal. I don't know if you made any mistakes. I mean, let's assume for non-perfection purposes that probably you've made some. But this happens to everybody. So basically, when you disregard your OCD is like, oh no, you don't. Let me send you a million more thoughts. And it goes on this like hyper attack to try to get you back into doing compulsions. So this is normal. This is what happens to everybody, but you gotta weather the storm. So right now you're in the eye of the storm. You gotta weather the storm. So your job is just to continue to not do compulsions to the best of your ability. Again, track and reduce. How many compulsions did you do yesterday versus today versus tomorrow, right? They have to be going down. As they continue to go down, you will start to feel better. Don't worry about how you feel. Just worry about what you are doing. Well, don't worry, but focus on what you are doing. The feelings will follow your actions. So if you do better, you'll feel better. Hi, Ali. Is it normal to feel like the only reason your thoughts are coming with anxiety is because you truly enjoy them? I keep saying to myself, this isn't OCD, you truly like this, and it's destroying me. You need to stop ruminating, is what I'm telling you. Because you're ruminating, and you're trying to kind of do this mental gymnastics, trying to be like, but this is not this, and that is not that, and da-da-da. You need to stop responding to OCD. Whatever OCD tells you, pretend you didn't hear it. You don't need to apologize. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to explain yourself. This is OCD just trying to pull you into a conversation. Choose not to get pulled in. Choose not to take the bait. Next question. Again, track and reduce. Can HOCD suppress your feelings and sexual attractions towards the opposite gender? Okay, first of all, when you are an OCD, let's not even talk about HOCD. Let's talk about OCD in general. When you are an OCD, you are in fight or flight mode. That's not exactly a moment when you would be attracted just by default, right? Because you are not in a good place of mind. Now, HOCD plays on that and says, oh, you see, you're not attracted to the opposite sex. What if you're gay? That means you're gay. And then it will give you feelings on top of it as if you are gay, right? So it will give you feelings on top of it, which will make you feel that you are gay. So just HOCD playing tricks, disregard, don't take the bait, don't ruminate. I mean, do you know how many times people tell me, but it feels real, but I have urges, feelings, attractions? Literally a million times a day I hear this from clients. Make a choice to disregard. I promise you, this is not just you. This is literally how, especially HOCD, but how this is how it goes. So it's a choice. You need to make a choice to disregard and just view these feelings of attraction, to you feel like you're attracted to the same sex. You don't feel like you're attracted to the opposite sex. View it as just OCD and make a choice to disregard. Next question. Hi, Ali. My respect and great gratitude for everything you do for us. Guys, thank you so much. I get so much nice emails and messages, and it's hard to answer everybody, but I see you, and you know, I'm here for you, you know, because I understand, obviously I've had this myself, so I know the terribleness of the situation. I'm telling you, there really is a way out. You just got to do the work, and it's doable. It's a process, but it's just one foot in front of the other. Again, just reduce a little bit. Whatever you're doing to feed the OCD, just reduce a little bit. Track it. When you track it, you start to feel good about yourself because, you know, like clients are sending me tracking every day, right? So, and I could see how proud they are when they're doing well. They're like, Ali, look at my numbers. You know, it's that pride that yes, it was difficult and look, I did it. It's just, it works. It's fantastic. It's just little steps forward, you know, and no matter how bad your situation is right now, right? You can't tell me that you cannot stop ruminating 1 minute out of 3 hours and tomorrow 2 minutes out of 3 hours, actively ruminating. I mean, not the thought coming in. And the day after that, 3 minutes and 4 minutes, right? Just reduce by a little bit, but just by 1 minute. If you reduce by just 1 minute, it's 180 days until you get to zero, right? So it's about consistency. It's about keeping it going. That's the Grayman method. With that, it's like, I mean, how can you not recover, right? Okay, so continue with the question.
I have obsessive compulsive disorder, and the topics are various, but the most painful and most difficult for me is ROCD. There's one girl I'm madly in love with, but we are still not together. I have never felt so attracted to anyone and the desire to be with that person, but my ROCD tells me. So you see, there's you, and then there's your ROCD. Who cares what it tells you? But okay, let's read. Tells me that this is worthless, and I will get bored of being with that girl, and that I will not be able to be happy with her. So your boogeyman is telling you a boogeyman story. Make a choice to disregard. Scares and leads to great anxiety. My question is, how do I deal with those thoughts that create doubt, pain, and fear? First of all, choose to stop listening to them. Do not respond to, again, I'm just going to continue to say this. Track and reduce rumination. Why are you letting yourself ruminate about it? It's just OCD throwing thought number 1,000,000 at you. Make a choice to not. And then it affects my libido as well. The question is whether it is also related to derealization related to libido and whether it is possible to affect it. Thanks and regards. It's choose to disregard, choose to push through, let the thought be what it is. Who cares? It's just kind of moving forward one foot after the other. You know what I mean? It's nothing more than that. It's throwing it at you from the ROCD perspective, from other perspectives. Who cares? The more you respond, the worse you're going to feel. So make a choice not to respond. And don't ruminate. Don't look online. Continue to be, if you guys are not together and you want to be together with her, be together with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to wait until you feel better in terms of OCD. Because if you're trying to first, again, remember from a few questions ago, I want to feel good first and then I'll do recovery work. No, you want to do recovery work, which means living life as you normally would. So maybe being with this girl. And then you will start to feel better in terms of OCD. Because in this case, if she wants to be with you, in this case, this would be avoidance because you're avoiding being with her out of fear. Hi, Ali. Next question. Hi, Ali. I have had OCD for around 4 years now, but only found out I had it a year ago. I have experienced many compulsions for many of my obsessions, but now I am realizing that there are other intrusive thoughts that I have been consistently having for a long time, which I haven't obsessed over or completed any compulsions for. These thoughts are very disturbing. Does this mean these thoughts are my true thoughts and not OCD? This is all OCD. You're ruminating. Right now, like you trying to figure out what's my true thoughts, what's OCD. It's all OCD. So you need to make a choice not to sort it out. This is OCD. We're focusing on real things. So this comes in, when this comes into your mind, then you're like, do I need to figure it out? Do I not? What is real? What is not real? You need to shift that to, okay, what am I doing right now in the day? Oh, I need to go here. Okay, I'm doing that. So you're focusing on real things and away from this metaphysical trying to figure things out as much as possible. Again, reducing rumination, right? This is rumination. We need to reduce how much you are responding to your OCD. Can we do exposure work in pregnancy? Does exposure in pregnancy harm the baby? Any special tips for OCD in pregnancy? I've had many, many, many pregnant women over the years who we've done recovery work. I had a few who gave birth during our time doing the program, and no special precautions or anything like that. Generally, when I work with clients, though, I don't push them to the limit. You know, I make it doable for them where they're, so they're not losing their mind doing exposure work, right? Because the point of exposure work is to do response prevention. If you do exposure, scare yourself half to death, and then ruminate about it all day, then yeah, okay, maybe you pulled yourself together during the exposure part, but then you did the opposite of response prevention. You did response a lot for the rest of the day. So who did that benefit? Do you know what I mean? You made your OCD worse, not better, by ruminating about your exposure the rest of the day. So it needs to be within doable parameters. So I would say, basically, to put it plainly, don't bite more than you can chew. But it's going to be fine. And no harmful effects on the baby. No, I haven't seen anything like that. Hi, Ali. I have checking OCD, and I used to check things multiple times. Then somehow I managed to check only once, but now, if it's not from the first time, if I check two or three times, I feel guilty. I feel like I'm obsessing about checking only once. It feels like a new OCD theme. Everything must be from the first time. So do you think that could be an obsession and an OCD thing that I should, and what should I do? Thank you so much. So in this case, you need to track both the rumination and the compulsions. You need to, in this case, you need to track both because you're both ruminating and doing compulsions, and both need to be decreasing each day. So anything that you're ruminating about, thinking about, that has to do with OCD, we need to be reducing, right? So whether it's OCD about OCD, what if I'm not doing this right? What if I don't recover? Anything that has to do with this in any way, with OCD, you need to reduce rumination and you need to reduce the number of compulsions you're actually doing. Another thing I want to point out is avoidances. When people do compulsions, a lot of the times they also do a lot of avoidances. I'd say not a lot of the time, but like, well, maybe like 50 to 70% of the time, depending on the situation. So also see how many avoidances you're doing, because sometimes the person will say, well, I'm actually not doing that much to power OCD up throughout the day. And then you ask them like, well, what do you do in life? Like, do you go out? Do you do things? And they're like, oh, no, I don't go anywhere. So then you're avoiding and you're basically powering up OCD all day by constantly walking the tightrope, you know? Next question. Hi, Ali. I have HOCD. My anxiety has gone down to about 4 or 5 in general. Very good. That means you've already done a lot of the right things since the anxiety went down. That's our proof. I don't really get intrusive thoughts anymore, but I feel like I'm stuck at this point because my attraction hasn't come back yet. How do I trust myself to get to full recovery? So you're ruminating about your attraction coming back, like you keep looking over your shoulder, kind of like, is it back yet? Is it back now? Trying to check for your feelings. And that would be the rumination. Also, if you're doing research on this topic, that would also count as rumination. So again, tracking and reducing. Next question. My brain tricks to thinking that my theme is made up thing to make some people relieve, or I don't know. So again, you're ruminating. So when your brain says this to you, what is your response? You should not be responding at all. If whatever your response is, there shouldn't be any. So every time you kind of engage in this thought process, you're already doing OCD's bidding. You're already making OCD worse. So how many minutes of the day are you doing that? Reduce the minutes. Okay, next question. How would you go about treating obsessions and intrusive thoughts of society collapsing? It could be any intrusive thought. It doesn't matter if society collapsing or you said apocalypse scenario, whatever, it doesn't matter. Right? Different people have different intrusive thoughts. It's just because of what scares them the most kind of thing. So, okay, if that's what it is for you, then this is what you have to be disregarding. Not ruminating, not reading online, not doing any of this stuff, right? Not engaging it. It's the engagement. The more you take this thought seriously, so you basically when this comes in, your general attitude it has to be, well, it is what it is. And that's it. And you leave it at that. Don't go any further. This one is kind of written weird. I'm just gonna read it how it's written, but I'm not really sure what the person means. How much you feel recovered, then pull back like a delusion, as delusion never come to ease. Is this just OCD or another disorder? If you can elaborate, well, I mean, it's in terms of feeling recovered and then being pulled back, there's a lot of reasons for that. But the biggest reason, the overall reason, is you never finished the process of recovery. So maybe you got it down to a lower state, right? Maybe you're ruminating or doing compulsions not all day, but just a few minutes here and there, a few compulsions here and there, but it's still alive just on life support. And any stress, any situation will bring it back to bring it back to life, so to speak, right? So you have to fully finish the process.
Can ROCD latch onto friendships instead of relationships? Like always overthinking if you drifted off or being upset they didn't talk to you? Yeah, it can. I mean, OCD generally, not even ROCD, but any OCD can grab onto anything. But yeah, of course, I've seen this with ROCD. That's common. Okay, next question. With HOCD, it's latching onto my best friend who I truly care about. That's why it latches onto your best friend who you truly care about. Again, I'm not going to read it. I'm reading it, but I'm not going to read it out loud because I don't want to trigger people. But you just need to be disregarding. You just need to be disregarding. Don't ruminate. It's the rumination that's causing the problem. Stop reading stuff online. That's a good advice for every person with OCD. Stop reading stuff online. Stop going to all the popular spots where people post their situations to try to compare your situation to their situations. I mean, how many times have you done it and then got all stressed out and triggered by it? Like, how many times are you going to continue to do this? You know what it does to you. So just make a choice not to. Next question. Hi, Ali. I wanted to ask a question related to harm OCD. I'm afraid of having negative emotions towards someone. That's actually very common. Being afraid to have negative emotions towards someone because I fear that what if I try to harm them? So my thoughts usually intensify during this time and they start to come up with reasons to harm the person. So this is normal because sometimes I feel very real. It feels very real and makes me anxious. This is normal kind of thing that harm OCD grabs onto. It's a common trigger. If you would like to argue with the person, you argue with them, regardless of what OCD tells you. So because it would be a compulsion to always try to be nice and good, just to not rock the boat, to make sure that you don't get angry, right? Already doing a compulsion. And then the rumination. A question concerning HOCD. Why does it feel like I'm lying sometimes when I say that I'm straight, which is my actual sexuality? Is it due to the OCD fear? Yeah, of course. Every person with OCD feels like HOCD or ROCD or harm OCD. I mean, they feel like they're lying. That's a common symptom. That's all it is. It's a symptom. That feeling that you're experiencing, the feeling like you're lying, is a symptom. Make a choice to disregard. So we're not trying to achieve a feeling of disregarding. We're making a choice. Okay, next question. I'm going fast because I'm trying to get through. There's like literally a million. Hi, Ali. I have a question regarding the E in ERP. Is it okay to wait for the thought to arrive itself through autopilot unplanned, or must I only do on purpose exposures to make progress? Ooh, I would do a separate video on this. This is a pretty interesting question. I've been worried that I might not be doing the exposure part correctly and question if I have actually been doing avoidance. So where do I begin? The exposures. If you do planned exposures, right? Let's say you do a half hour of planned exposure in the day. Let's say an hour. Let's even say an hour and a half, okay? You're doing planned exposures in the day. What are you doing the rest of the day is my question. Because I think that you might be powering OCD up the rest of the day. And if you're powering up the OCD the rest of the day, then your half an hour or an hour and a half of exposure is not much compared to the other 10 hours where you powered up the OCD. Do you know what I mean? So I think the most important exposures are the ones that are coming in on autopilot nonstop all day. If on top of it, you want to do some on purpose exposure, especially if you're doing avoidances, right? So let's say, let me give you an example. So let's say you are constantly worried about harm OCD, right? First of all, you need to deal with the constantly part, right? So you need to reduce rumination, and that's all day thing. Now, in addition to that, let's say you've hidden all the knives, a very common harm OCD behavior, compulsion. So in that case, you also have to do an additional exposure of maybe taking some knives out and then more as you feel comfortable, right? It's okay to do on-purpose exposures, and you should, if you're doing avoidances, right, you should do on-purpose exposures in addition
to autopilot, but I would focus, for most people, I would focus most of my attention on the ones that are coming in all day long rather than these on-purpose exposures. That's like extra. Of course, there's a lot of situations where that's not true, such as, for example, driving OCD. So if you have OCD only exclusively during driving, so after you are home, you're not doing any kind of checking behaviors, anything like that, it's only during driving, or let's say you only get OCD in some other way when you're outside, right? So in those situations, you need to do on-purpose exposures because, of course, you're at home, you're not getting any anxiety, right? So that's a different situation, but that's not, I mean, OCD finds something no matter where you are for most people. And this is a really good question, because this is the number one reason why people online say my OCD is chronic, because if they're doing exposures at all, that's what they're doing, a half an hour a day, and they think they're done, you know, so of course they're going to stay chronic with that method, you know. Next question. Hi, Ali. When I delay my thoughts, I usually write them in my notes app so that in the future I can think about them if they still bother me. But now I have like 50 thoughts written on my notepad. I feel like I have to see every one of them to confirm that they're not important. So I would say that I understand what you're trying to do. So you're trying not to ruminate in the moment, so you're delaying it by writing them down. But I also think that rereading them is a compulsion in itself, and when you read them, you're kind of going back into them. So let's say I don't like the idea of writing thoughts down. I just don't like it because it's that temptation to look back, to do reassurance is always going to be there. I would say more that if you remember it, let's say a month from now, then you'll deal with it if you yourself remember it. But I would stay away from the idea of writing it down. I had quite a few clients over the years who did this, and it usually kind of it was a detriment to their recovery, put it that way. It was something that we had to overcome in addition to the thoughts, is now the checking of these notes, you know. So I wouldn't, honestly. It's in a sense, I understand what you're doing. It's good that you are delaying, at least in the moment, but I would delay kind of in the way of remembering rather in the way of writing down and looking back. That if I remember, then I mean, still not important, but then at least, you know, there's a limit to how much I'm letting myself suffer. So in a month, I'll whatever, do reassurance. But the thing is, if you get a new thought, it's let's say you got a thought on the 1st, right, of, let's say, June, right? So then you will take it seriously only on the 1st of July. But if mid-June you got a second thought, then the second thought is from mid-June to mid-July, right? So it's not on the 1st I'm going to address all my thoughts. It's a month from the date of each new thought. And half the time you'll forget about it. Not even half the time. 99% of the time you'll forget about it by the time. Next question. Hi, Ali. Could you talk about how person's libido may be suppressed from OCD in themes such as HOCD, POCD, and so OCD? I've almost recovered. Thanks to you. Keep it up. Oh, thank you. Well, you're in fight or flight. The content of OCD doesn't matter. I mean, it makes it even worse when it's OCD that's connected to libido, but generally, you're in fight or flight. So even if you have contamination OCD, I mean, you're not feeling good. You're in distress. So, you know. Okay, next question. In my case, a false memory OCD, it's not like I didn't know about that memory before. This person writes, I knew from last 3 years, but I didn't do it in the way that many, that may cause any future consequences. I was sure. I, to be honest with you, the question, I don't know what you're talking about. So, because you're trying to go around the content, and I can't really give, I can't give an opinion because I'm not understanding what you're talking about. So when you're saying, have you seen cases like mine, I don't know what your case is, so I don't know. But I think I can answer the second question. When I try to disregard thoughts, my brain tells me that I'm ignoring them because I'm afraid of finding out any detail that will prove that my fear is true. So that creates confusion and anxiety, whether I should be worrying about this thing or not, how to deal with it. Basically, this is rumination. So you worrying about finding a detail, you trying to run away from the thoughts, all of this is powering it up, right? So you want to make sure that, again, you're tracking how much time you are devoting to this problem, this whole situation, right? This whole false memory thing, how much time you're devoting to it throughout the day. And reduce that time. I'm gonna leave it here for part one. I will be back with part two of the Q&A.